want to bring a 39-year-old back just because he played here once before. I mean, $10 million, he's back. Will his numbers be good? Some people thought they were waning in Detroit for the last season or so. But here he shows up with some of these great numbers that you're talking about in your article, and just being one of the most consistent guys, both on the field and then in the locker room. I mean, have you seen this club change in the way of your leadership and someone taking over the clubhouse? And, we've talked about Dozier and Plouffe. Is that really happening the way you see it?
Well, I see Hunter as a guy who leads a lot by example, the way he conducts himself professionally and puts in the work and the conditioning and then translates it to the baseball field. He's leading the team in average at 281, leads the team in home runs, leads the team in RBIs. So he's setting a perfect example for what these younger guys need to emulate. Now, from what I've heard and been told, Trevor Plouffe and Brian Dozier certainly are a couple of the more vocal guys in this clubhouse. They're very accessible to the media. They're always walking around after games and patting guys on the back and encouraging them, from what I've observed. And I think it's easier for them to fit in that role when they've been with this group for a few years. Hunter is still sort of figuring out this new regime here in Minnesota, getting to know the players. So he's, I would say, a little more of a by example leader, whereas Plouffe and Dozier are the vocal leaders.
Wow. Yeah, we're talking to Sam Ekstrom from Cold Omaha on 105theticket.com. You run 35 stats in 35 games. I'm going to go now to the bad stats. Some of the things that I agree with you that I didn't really love. 34, the number of strikeouts for Danny Santana. Been an early roller coaster. He's a young kid. You're going to have some growing pains. He had 203 through April 25th. Built his average up to 280 by May 6th, only to drop back down to 250 entering today. 31 being the home runs allowed by the pitching staff. Is certainly not as bad as Milwaukee, who's allowed 51, but they're a dumpster fire so far this year. And then 16, hits allowed by Tim Stauffer in less than 10 innings. He was a big free agent signing for the Minnesota Twins. But then again, a point that you point out in your article at 105theticket.com, don't acquire National League pitchers. I mean, you would think that they would have learned by now, yet they continue to go out and sign these guys from the National League. Those three stats, can you hit on those for me, please, Sam Ekstrom?
Yeah, you bet. The 34 strikeouts for Danny Santana is definitely the most alarming to me, because Santana profiled as a leadoff hitter early in the season. They were batting him first, and he was striking out all the time, not getting any walks. He didn't get his first walk until early May. He was the last person in Major League Baseball to do that of all qualified hitters. So that's an astonishingly bad stat for a speedy middle infielder who doesn't play stellar defense. And if he's not hitting for average and he's not drawing walks, then you wonder how long the leash is on Danny Santana. The other one you mentioned, that Tim Stauffer allowing 16 hits in less than 10 innings, it's just a long litany of bad National League signings by this front office. And I fault them for that, you know, among many things. But going and getting Mike Pelfrey, who really hasn't worked out in 3 years, he's kind of putting it together this year, but he still has a lot to prove. Kevin Correa didn't work out. And when you're a team that
loses. Carl Pavano did, though.
Carl Pavano did, yes, but Pavano also pitched a little bit in the American League. He was a journeyman. You know, he'd been in the American League before. These National League guys who've spent their entire careers without the designated hitter, they come in because the Twins pay them well, because that's the only way that they can acquire pitching when you lose 90 games for consecutive years. And they face that extra designated hitter, that extra big bat in the lineup, and everything just falls apart. And Stauffer, who's hurt right now, is just another example of that the Twins have suffered from.
I'm just looking at the whole season as the big picture when it comes to the consistency of the offense and the consistency of the bullpen and the starting rotation. And I think you have to give them a pretty decent grade based on what we thought we were going to find after Santana. Irvin Santana, by the way, was suspended for 80 games. And by the way, in a very sneaky way, that's almost halfway done. I mean, we're about 36 games into an 80-game suspension. So, that's right around the corner, I guess. But I just find it amazing that this team has held on as well as it has. It probably, it's a C+, it's a B- for maybe a little overachieving, if anything. But and then I think one of the biggest issues, one of the biggest things that has happened this year is that Joe Mauer has sort of come to life and shown his old self a little bit. So we only can hope that that continues.
Yep, Maurer's got 10 extra base hits on the season, which is great to see from him. He's hitting to the gaps and down the lines for those doubles, which he hit so many of 2 years ago when he kind of found his old form. But what's remarkable about this Twins team is that there really isn't one guy in the lineup who stands out and just pops off the page. They don't have any qualified hitters above 300. They've got a lot of guys in 270, 280 range. They have a lot of pitchers who are sort of hovering around that 3 or 4 ERA, but no one is an early Cy Young candidate, for instance. There aren't many guys who you would profile as all-star game candidates, but together, they're piecing this thing together. So it's encouraging in a way because you imagine that, you know, at some point, a couple of these hitters are really going to take off. Maybe one of their pitchers goes on a 4 or 5 game win streak, and suddenly this is a Twins team that's halfway through the year, maybe still in the wild card hunt.
Yeah, I wonder if the Twins are disappointed. Obviously, I'm sure they're disappointed. I wonder if they regret signing Urban Santana, or if they think, you know what, this 80 game suspension thing is it happens, you know, every once in a while. Some people, it was just our turn, really. And when he comes back, Urban Santana hopefully will push us over the edge. It'll be interesting. Sam Ekstrom from Cold Omaha, 105theticket.com. Also the host for the Wake Up Call Sunday mornings on 105 The Ticket. What do you have coming up this week? I know we talked about you're going to have Mecole Pruitt, Minnesota Vikings' new tight end, on the show. What else do you have coming up?
Yeah, Pruitt at 9:45 a.m. on Sunday. We're going to have Zach Bennett, who writes for the Wolves website, Canis Hoopus. He's going to be talking about the draft lottery and probably some NBA playoffs as well. The conference finals should be set at that point. And Sam Gordon of Sports Data is going to be guest hosting in place of Tom Schreier. Tom has his brother's graduation at Notre Dame. So it'll be the Sam and Sam show.
Dang.
Sunday morning.
Cool.
Sounds cool. Sounds like a good show. Wow, that Pruitt, by the way, that's going to be sort of the X factor, I think. Sometimes I look back on that draft choice and see him running some of that H back, something in motion, and just having one more big man out there in the middle of the field with another good pair of hands.
Oh,
but that could be the old X factor, top sort of a well kept secret. Let's hope so, anyway. Sam Ekstrom, thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thank you.
Up next, we have the Minnesota Timberwolves lottery update. That's what we do around here. We'll rock.
Just
we'll
a couple more days so we can screw it on Tuesday.
Yeah, because it's all luck anyway. After all, it's a lottery. We'll do that again. We're going to spin the wheel. We'll spin the wheel. We'll talk the talk next.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, only on 105 The Ticket.
Joey Logano just screams out into the lead. McMurray's locked in the second. Matt Kenseth and Kevin Harvick side by side for first.
The best of the best race for a $1 million prize at the Sprint Cup All-Star Race. Tune in Saturday night at 6, live from Charlotte Motor Speedway.
That's the battle for the lead in turn one.
This is Brad Keselowski.
This is Dylan Hart Jr.
This is Jeff Gordon.
This is Jimmy Johnson.
This is Kevin Harvick.
Your home for NASCAR in the Twin Cities is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. You're listening to 105 The Ticket. Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
You know what that means?
The old Timberwolves theme song.
Bringing it to the new day.
Well, you gotta do what you gotta do. I mean, we're gonna find out how lucky we are.
What does your thing keep falling off?
It's really delicate. It's very delicate. And I'm going to put it back on. There. This draft, this is big stuff coming up on Tuesday. We will be incredibly lucky. We have come to find out here on this show if we do, in fact, get to pick first, as we should be allowed to pick, since we had the worst record in the NBA. But we won't. It's the lottery, and so we'll spin them. And we'll just find out, I guess, where we stand again. Because it's been about, if you took the average, the mean of the spins that we've had over the last 2 or 3 days, I would say that we would pick third, pretty solid third.
Oh, God.
For sure.
I think it's going to be first or fourth, because we have a 25% chance, the Timberwolves have a 25% chance of being the first overall pick. They have a 35% chance of being the fourth pick.
Sure. Perfect,
so,
right?
So that doesn't leave a lot of percentage to be second or third. The Minnesota Timberwolves have never once moved up in the draft. Obviously, it doesn't count. I mean, it doesn't matter because you can't get higher than number one. They've moved back 10 times out of the 25-year franchise history. They haven't been in the lottery all the time, but out of the 10 times, they've either stayed the same or moved back, but they've moved back 10 times. Dropped twice several times, dropped third once or three once.
Yep.
So we're just going to roll. We're going to see Glenn Taylor. Obviously, he's going to be the guy, the only owner, the only team representative, because they put, you know, cute little kids up there. The Cleveland Cavaliers put, I want to say, the owner's kid up there one time, and they got the number one pick. And I believe that was Andrew Wiggins.
Yep.
You
may as well put a kid up there, Fred Hoiberg, or someone with a little stuffed toy that's going to help out with your luck factor.
Sure.
Because it's luck.
Is there something we can give Glenn Taylor before he goes to the draft lottery on Tuesday that will give him luck? Why not have Kevin Garnett do it? Honest to God, why not have Kevin Garnett or Andrew Wiggins? Andrew Wiggins, rookie of the year. Have Andrew Wiggins go up there. He was the number one draft
question.
Pick.
I don't know what to do there. I mean, we should really think about that.
Why Glenn Taylor? I feel like he's the unluckiest human being alive.
That can't be good. It really can't.
So we're going
to
go.
We need to work on that and maybe have some input on that and maybe see if he'll at least carry something up there.
Sure.
Some sort of trinket.
Yeah.
Or something that we see as being lucky.
Yeah.
I guess.
So here we go. We're going to roll the draft lottery 10 times and see where the Minnesota Timberwolves fall out of these 10 times. Are you ready for this?
All right. Here we go.
Number one.
Oh, boy.
Philadelphia 76ers with the number one overall
draft
pick.
They get the number one. Where do we fall?
We fall at number three.
Okay.
And draft D'Angelo Russell, who is not the guy that I want for the Timberwolves. Either in one or two, I want Jahlil Okafor second. He would be my second choice out of Duke, obviously. And Cat, we don't say his name. We don't want to jinx him. He's the consensus overall number one pick, I believe.
We'll just take Okafor and Tyus Jones.
Yes, and I want to talk to you about Tyus Jones because I think the Timberwolves need to do everything they possibly can to draft him. Flip Saunders, coach and president, talked to him today at the NBA Combine in Chicago. Here we go, number two. Philadelphia 76ers, number
one. Wow, they're lucky. That's two number ones for them.
A 15.6 chance to win. Timberwolves, number two. That's an okay consolation prize, Jahlil Okafor.
You don't like him.
Well, I prefer the other guy, but I will take Jahlil Okafor.
I think Okafor's got more polish to do. I mean, more upside.
Sure, right?
I think more upside.
No. I would say you're right in saying Jahlil Okafor is more polished right now.
No, he's not.
He's more polished than
Cat's more polished than Okafor.
That's not what everybody says. It says right here. Here, I'll read the scouting report. Cat has stood out as an elite shot blocker and rebounder who can also shoot from anywhere on the floor. The biggest question mark for Cat is his toughness. Will he be able to handle the physicality of the NBA night in and night out? He hasn't put up dominant numbers in Kentucky, but his upside is huge. Mm. Here's what they say for Jahlil Okafor. Already a polished low post scorer at 19 years old, has a vast array of moves along with his size, soft hands, excellent footwork, high basketball IQ. The only real knock against him is that he's not an elite athlete. He can struggle to move well laterally and is only an adequate rim protector. But he can score.
I think that...
You compared him to Tim Duncan. Duncan's not an elite athlete.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, depends on what you...
You don't see him nifty, swift of feet and doing all these things.
I don't see him being a blazing... Sort of like this dynamic lightning bolt sort of LeBron James guy, but I mean, it doesn't mean that you can't be an elite athlete playing at that level for so many years. And I mean, that's an elite athlete to play at that high level and be maybe the greatest power forward that ever lived is Kevin Duncan, the big fundamental. But I think that the kid who reminds everyone of Tim Duncan, Okafor, I think that he has a lot that he can do to improve his athleticism, sure. Giving him a big upside. That's what I was saying.
Roll number three,
yep.
Philadelphia 76ers, number one.
Three times in a row. Well,
they have a 15.6% chance to win it all.
They just did three in a row.
And the Minnesota Timberwolves at number four.
Okay, that's great. So we have two threes, a two, and a four.
This is our fourth roll.
No. You have two
this
threes.
Is our fifth roll? Okay.
Yeah.
So for number five, the Los Angeles Lakers, who have an 11.9% chance to win, are number one. Timberwolves, number two.
Ah. There you go. Now we got two threes, two twos, and a four.
Roll number six.
Right.
Philadelphia 76ers, number one.
Four out of six times.
Los Angeles Lakers, number two. New York Knicks, number three. Timberwolves, number four.
That's three fours.
Here we go. Roll number
seven. Two threes, two twos.
Minnesota Timberwolves, number one.
Wow, there's our first one. It was the seventh roll.
Yeah.
Oh.
Lucky number 11.
Okay.
Number eight.
Well, here we go. He's rolling. And?
New York Knicks, number one.
Yep.
With a 19.9% chance to win. Charlotte Hornets, number two.
There you go.
Philadelphia 6, 76ers number 3.
Go.
Minnesota Timberwolves number 4.
Oh, okay. That's four fours. Two threes, two twos, and a one.
Roll number 8, Minnesota Timberwolves number 1.
Bang.
So that's so far 2 out of 10.
Bang.
Number 9, Orlando Magic with an 8.8% chance to win number 1. New York Knicks number 2. Timberwolves number 3.
Awesome.
Just preparing everybody that's listening right now to be completely emotionally destroyed come Tuesday. Number 1, Los Angeles Lakers, 11.9% chance to win.
Number
2.
Number 10, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Number 2, Denver Nuggets. Number 3, Minnesota Timberwolves.
There you go.
3 and 4.
Get
it
ready.
Seems like we'll get number 1 twice out of these roll of sand, which we've done for the last couple of days. So we're shooting at about 20%,
right.
But more often than not we're getting number 4.
Yeah.
So number 4, just be prepared. Minnesota Timberwolves.
Get ready.
Minnesota sports fans, period. But Minnesota Timberwolves fans, just get ready to get screwed again. I mean, just what
that's
just
how
what
it
happens.
Goes. So love it.
Basically, Minnesota Timberwolves fans are the town bicycle.
They are, aren't they? The town bicycle. Get used to it.
Hmm.
I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I think it's a shame that it is what it is. I'll go on to say that forever and ever. Until they change it.
The town bicycle. How's it feel to be the town bicycle?
Ridden hard. Ridden hard.
Put away wet.
And put away wet. We're going to come back and talk. It's a little Mike's break, so we're going to talk the talk. Khalil, we're going to talk a little bit about the predictions of every major category in football. That is on the offensive side of the ball. And we'll do all that next. But first of all, caller number 15 right now at 651-989-9105 wins a 4-pack of passes to Midwest Mopars in the Park, May 30th and 31st at the Dakota County Fairgrounds. Caller 15 at 651-989-9105. Good luck, sissy pants. That you wouldn't want to miss the state fairgrounds, the Dakota County Fairgrounds, rather. It's going to be a big one. And more with the Vikings. It's Khalil. It's going to be the predictions and all those goodies next.
The only pure sports talk station in the Twin Cities.
Yeah. Little Pantera for everybody. Dimebag Darrell, who is no longer with us on guitar. His brother Vinnie Paul on drums.
Vinnie Paul's with a new band now. Is that Five Finger Death Punch?
I have no idea.
No, he's with
really
a band
know.
Called Hell Yeah.
Hell Yeah, that's
oh,
what
that's
it is.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
Hell
right.
Yeah.
Where's Phil and
Thanks,
Salmo?
Mac.
Where's Phil,
Salmo?
Phil at?
Phil's got two different bands right now. One of them's called Down, and the other one we cannot say on the radio right now.
Oh.
What does it start with?
A?
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 Oh.
It's a nasty name.
Oh.
Just try and say it on the radio once. And Sam Ekstrom is obviously guarding the dump button.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure
Sam,
how it's
Sam,
spelled.
Can you confirm that you're guarding the dump button?
Guarding the dump button with my life. My finger is hovered over it.
Okay, say it.
Asphalgia or something like that?
I don't know that that's necessarily...
I didn't dump it.
It's like a... It's
yeah,
a
ass isn't a bad... I don't think we have to dump ass.
If you knew what it meant.
Asphalgia.
I like it.
It's like,
it's
like a combination of somebody's butt with Folgers coffee. Is what
like
it sounds
that.
Like to
yeah.
me. So
it's kind of like Folgers.
Yeah.
Ass Folgers.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Percolating.
Yeah.
It's percolating. Oh, that's funny. Well, that's the kind of music I'm looking for.
I like it.
Dimebag was gunned down in Columbus, Ohio. 6 shots in the
boy.
Chest. Ex-Marine. Minnesota Vikings realistic 2015 predictions for every major stat category. That's the first one being total yards. Total yards. Where 6, do you think the Minnesota... How many?
5,600.
That's pretty close to what they've actually got as a prediction. Last year, in our division, the Green Bay Packers ranked 6th in the National Football League with 6,100 yards.
Okay.
386 yards a game. The Detroit Lions, they were ranked 19th in the NFL.
Okay.
5,452 yards or 340 yards.
This is all last
per
year.
Per game last year. Yeah. Last year in the NFL, the Chicago Bears, 21st. In the NFL,
okay,
5,233 yards. The Minnesota Vikings ranked 27th with 5,048 yards, an average of 315 yards per game per each of one of those games. It's pretty easy to assume, though, that Minnesota will be a substantial improvement.
Oh, for sure, especially with Adrian Peterson.
And absolutely, and Mike Wallace and some other things like that. I think you could probably see Teddy Bridgewater getting a little better and Kyle Rudolph, you know, being healthy again and some of that offensive line back up and running. So anyway, the 2015 prediction for total yards, you said 5,600.
Yeah.
5,800 is what they're saying. I originally said
6,000, but I thought a little bit. But 5,800, I'd love to see it. I think that it's absolutely possible.
I do too. Rushing yards is the next category.
Total team rushing yards.
Total team rushing yards. The Seattle Seahawks led the NFL by a wide margin in 2014, averaging 172 yards rushing per game.
So, of course, that's the beast. For the year? Are we talking per game on average?
Per game, man.
We're talking an average per game here. Okay.
Well, average. We can go total yards on the season if you want to do it that way, or you can go average per game. I've got both numbers.
Okay, tell me what the average for the season was for the number one team, which I would imagine is the Seattle Seahawks.
The average per game was 172.6 yards.
What about for the season?
I don't have their number for the entire season. I wish I could help you out with that.
I would say 100, and I mean, Adrian Peterson, best running back in the league, is back with the Minnesota Vikings, whether he shows up for real or not. I mean, I have no doubt that he has to. I mean,
we have a number here for Adrian, too. They're assuming he's back. What number do you give Adrian alone?
Per game or for the whole season?
Season.
I think Adrian runs for 1,500 yards this season.
Okay. And the team, you take a stab at that?
The team, I'll say...
That's the quarterback, the other running backs, anyone else?
Yep. I'll say probably 2,200 for the whole team.
Jesus H.
Too much?
Well, no. At this point, there's no reason to think that Peterson will not be back in the mix in 2015.
Sure.
Should be back right up at the top, and the Vikings should be, too. They're normally at the top because of AP.
Yep.
2015 prediction for rushing yards, 2,200 yards. You said 2,200 yards. Prediction for Adrian Peterson alone, 1,400 yards. You said 1,500 yards. 5-yard average is 1,400.
Yeah, that makes sense. The Vikings were 7th in the NFL on average for the year with Matt Asiata and Jerick McKinnon. So with a full, healthy offensive line and some decent depth and the return of Adrian Peterson and the possibility of Mike Wallace opening things up down the field with his burst of speed, just running the straight line like Randy Moss used to do for touchdowns, and Kyle Rudolph over the middle. I think that this offense can be deadly. And so Adrian Peterson obviously sat out for an entire year, but teams can't just sit back there and wait on Adrian Peterson because they can get burned by Teddy Bridgewater and Mike Wallace and the rest of the wide receiver core, including Kyle Rudolph and, I mean, even Charles Johnson, Jarius Wright, Cordarrelle Patterson. A lot of nice things are being said about Cordarrelle Patterson from all the coaching staff at Winter Park right now. And so many options.
I think you have to take that into consideration, too, is the X factor of Cordarrelle Patterson. You've already mentioned Mike Wallace. We already know enough about, Jarius Wright and some of them. But Stephon Diggs, too. I mean, we have to remember that kid could be the second coming of Percy Harvin, apparently. But Pruitt, yes, the big tight end, the speedy tight end.
Big but super fast.
Next category.
Yep.
Yards passing. Total yards passing. It should be noted already that we were 28th in the league last year in the National Football League in 2014 with 3,244 yards passing.
That's interesting because I was about to say 3,200 yards because I just don't think... I don't know.
Well, now, a lot of those yards... I mean, I think Bridgewater... He's pretty close to 3,000 yards himself.
Yeah, in 12 games.
So you have to look at that.
I'll say 3,600, just guessing on what this thing says.
Well, look for 2015 to be the season when the Vikings move into the upper half of the league in passing yards. It's been far too long. And, of course, it's because we've had such a substantial running game, too. You have to remember that. But, yes, they have him... Or our team at 3,750 yards.
Okay.
So that won't be too bad. That's quite an improvement. Let's do one more. Do we have time for one more?
Sure.
Receiving yards, I guess, do we have to look at that? We don't have to. Not that big a deal. Touchdowns. Total touchdowns.
What were they last year? This is defense, special teams, everything.
2014 touchdowns. There were 12 rushing, 17 receiving, 0 returns. I thought we had one return. 6 defensive touchdowns for a total of 35 touchdowns for the Vikings last year.
I think they're going to definitely do better than that because I would think that the rushing touchdowns, even though Matt Asiata did a great job down at the goal line, I feel like Adrian Peterson can rip some off, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 yards. And so I'm going to say that that's probably going to go up to 18 or 20. Do they have the breakdowns at all?
They do.
Okay. How many rushing touchdowns do they think?
18.
Okay. Wide receivers was 17 last year.
17 receiving 17. From the wide receiver corps.
And I would think Teddy Bridgewater had 14 of those himself. I would say Teddy Bridgewater will probably throw 24 touchdown passes this year.
Okay, 25.
Okay.
25 receiving.
I would imagine.
Return game?
Return game, I would say. It was Stephon Diggs, who's supposed to be a great return artist. Cordarrelle Patterson returning kicks. And if he's had this great offseason like the coaches are saying, I'm going to say probably two.
One.
Makes sense.
That's pretty hard to bring one back in the NFL.
Yeah.
Defensively do you
six
think?
Is a lot, isn't it?
It's a lot.
Six is a lot. I would say that they probably will hang around that area because such playmakers, such speed, such young, aggressive defense. So I'm going to say probably five.
We got three here.
Okay.
So, three. Yeah, but they did come back, though, and a total of 47.
Wow.
As opposed to last year's 35 total. That's what they've got. That's what they've got. I don't know if we have sacks. Do you want to go with team sacks?
Sure.
All right. I don't know how much time we have.
We don't have any time, but let's
2014 sack total was 41. Griffin had 12. Yeah. Tom Johnson, 6.5. Brian Robinson, 4.5. Sharif Floyd, 4.5. And Anthony Barr, 4. Let's just take those same guys. That's what they've done. And let's add it up.
I'm going to say 52 sacks this year.
Okay, they said 47. They think that Griffin will have another one, 13. Barr will have 8. He'll double hit.
Yeah, I bet.
Floyd will have 5. Robinson, 5. Johnson, 5. And that's kind of the major breakdown. We had a couple other categories, not quite as meaningful, but we don't have any time. So we'll save that for another day. We do have, you're going to love this, kids. What we like to talk about is Deflategate more, and that's what we're going to do. We can talk a little Deflategate if you want to, and we can break it down. You want to?
Sure.
I mean, what does it mean that Goodell will hear Brady's hearing? That's what we're going to talk about. I think he's making a mistake. I really do. I think he's putting himself right out there on the front burner
for
all to see one more time, and he's going to get smashed anyway.
Smashed.
Yeah, I think he will. I think he's going to put himself in a bad position. Now, come on back, everybody. Radioactive Sports.
Two legendary races, one day, Memorial Day Sunday, the Indianapolis 500 live at 10 a.m. and the Coca-Cola 600 at 4 p.m. Sunday, a Memorial Day weekend, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Back to Radioactive Sports. The superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
I'm doing those a lot. I'm doing that a lot, this.
Slaves, Bulldozers, Soundgarden, Chris Cornell. I guess it's going to be kind of a slave to the grind for Roger Goodell to have to get back in front of Tom Brady.
Why in God's name would he go, you know what? I'm going to have Troy Vincent hand down the initial four-game suspension, and then I'm going to take the appeal. Which he has every right to do, according to the CBA, which I think is absolute crap.
Yeah.
When we've talked about this a billion times when it comes to the Adrian Peterson situation, because we've been through that a ton of times. But according to the CBA, he's the guy that can handle appeals, or he can decide who handles the appeal. Why would he want to handle this appeal? Because he's either going to look like a jackass to fans if he goes light on Tom Brady and Robert Kraft. Or Robert Kraft is just going to get even more irate at him and likely begin pushing him out of the commissioner's job.
You know why? Because of what you just said. I think because of what he's done before in the past now with trying to hand this off to somebody else to go do one of his puppets, he doesn't even feel like he's the commissioner anymore. I mean, I think he thinks that if he comes back and he plays commissioner this time and comes back and reduces a little bit or is the good guy somehow or maybe stands up to the pressure of it and just says, I said four games, like Marsh said, four games suspension for Tom and $1 million. What part of this don't you guys understand?
But then if he does that, Robert Kraft is irate. He's already out of his mind in anger. And then Tom Brady and the New England Patriots take it to federal court. And as we know in federal court, if it goes goes to Judge David Doty or anybody else, he always gets overturned, it seems like.
He always gets overturned, and I just think he wants to be... He's been accused already of hiding and cowering under his desk in a corner somewhere by all of us. I think he wants to come out and say, look, I'm the commissioner. I've got to come out soon and not have somebody else do this, a henchman. I've got to at least stand up for myself, or I'm going to lose this. I think he fears losing the commissioner spot, and he needs to be more in front of things.
But we've talked about it several times where he should be the commissioner and he should do the things that he's good at instead of handing down. He should have maybe a three-person, three-judge scenario or something, the former judges or whatever, players that hand down suspensions or hand down punishment. He handles the money because he's good at making money for the league. He's good at making money for the owners.
Sure is.
Do what he's good at, because right now he's either going to get fan backlash or he's going to get Robert Kraft, New England Patriot backlash, and then get overturned likely by a federal judge.
It's
just a dumb move for him to make. I thought he was smarter than I think he's an idiot at the same time, but I feel like he was more of a conniving, smarter guy than this. And he set himself up for a no-win situation, in my opinion.
You said it. It's a no-win situation, and I think that if he had been really smart about this whole thing, he would have reconsidered the Wells investigation. And I think that he should have, instead of putting such a harsh, a fine suspension and whatnot against the Patriots and Tom Brady, I believe that he should have probably weighed into it a little differently or said, let's go back with something else. And anything other than handing down fines, suspensions, or anything, especially the harsh one, without knowing more. I just think that he set himself up right there, too. Be the smart guy for once and say, I don't have enough to go by. I don't have enough real concrete evidence. I mean, they're going to pick this thing apart the way I read it. He should have known that. The Wells report is not good enough for me.
No, not at all.
He's the commissioner. Go back and do it again. It's not enough. You got to find more than this before I can slap $1 million on my best friend, one of my best friends. Why'd he do that?
I don't know.
No one said he had to do it Monday, Tuesday of last week. Why don't you just take your time and just say, look, I need more.
He definitely took his sweet-ass time with releasing the Wells report in the first place. It's funny because we'll talk about this, I think, coming up in Sillier Side of Sports, where the Brittany Griner situation and the spousal abuse situation, she was suspended, her and her wife suspended now by 7 games from the WNBA. It took, I want to say, 2 weeks maybe for them to turn it around and suspend her. Just do it right away. I mean, why let it lament?
I can't believe it. I really can't believe it.
This could have been over and done with a long time ago.
People just let it linger. The attorney fees, the money just drives up. I don't know why they don't just handle it. Just nip it. If you know what's going on, then take it to court and handle it. But I think that Goodell, in this case, should have stalled this one out a little more. You put $1 million on Kraft, $1 million on him with a report that says more probable than not that the air was probably taken out of the balls. Okay, $1 million. Oh, man. You want to talk about the balls of a burglar. That's what he had right there, boys. I'm telling you right now. We're going to come back, and we're going to finish the show up, okay? We're going to do the sillier side of sports, and then we're going to do a true superstar to finish it out. And the star here is going to go see a little Mad Max. You think I ain't?
I think you is.
I'm going to check that thing out. I'm all about it. So anyway, come on back, everybody. Sillier side of sports and the true superstar.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, only on 105 The Ticket.
Joey Logano just screams out into the lead. McMurray slots in the second. Matt Kenseth and Kevin Harvick side by side for third.
The best of the best race for a $1 million prize at the Sprint Cup All-Star Race. Tune in Saturday night at 6, live from Charlotte Motor Speedway.
That's the battle for the lead in turn one.
This is Brad Keselowski.
This is Dylan Hart Jr.
This is Jeff Gordon.
This is Jimmy Johnson.
This is Kevin Harvick.
Your home for NASCAR in the Twin Cities is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on 105 The Ticket.
Superstar Mike Morris. Sillier Side of Sports. We're at the Office Pub and Grill, Washington and 3rd. Come on down. Join us every Friday. Every Friday, Minnesota Twins home game. You can. This patio is second to none. What do you call this? A tin roof? I mean, it's not just a tin roof. It's like
one of those old tile, ceramic tile, antique roofs. It's unbelievable, man. It's unbelievable.
It's like high class out
here. Yeah, it's
heated out
in
the patio. You can smoke cigars back here. Literally a block or maybe just a little over a block, but it's a city block from Target Field. If you go to the games, we always have Twins tickets to give away. They always have great Coors Light specials, amazing food, free parking in the back. So instead of paying $25-$30 to park your car to go to a Twins game, which just adds onto the already expensive night of taking your family or your loved one, your sweetie pie, to a Twins game, you can park for free back here in the back. It's amazing.
Office Pub and Grill. That's how you do it.
It's fantastic. Sillier side of sports. Well, the mainstream media in general has ignored Griner and Glory Johnson, just what we were talking about. The abusive relationship. The WNBA came down with a very fair suspension considering their guilty plea. The 7-game suspension will take effect when the season starts for both Griner and Johnson. But what is interesting is that the WNBA released their findings about the incident in a pretty quick fashion, unlike the NFL that sometimes it takes months. This only took a couple of weeks. And then Roger Goodell has to go back and fix himself because originally this really all started with Ray Rice back last summer, when he was caught dragging his then-fiancée, now wife, out of an elevator, saying, oh, she just had too much to drink or whatever his excuse was. He only gave her a two-game suspension, then ended up having to suspend him indefinitely. That was overturned by a federal judge, which everything is Roger Goodell does. And so it's like, dude, you're the NFL, you're the Premier League. Get your poop in a group, man. What's going on here?
I'm telling you, I've never seen a league or someone that had so much power over so much power act like this, seem like this, so non-qualified.
Yeah.
He's like an amateur. He's like a little kid running around. You know, someone tell me how to do this. I mean, it used to be such a secure, powerful, and he was such a tough, you know, sort of a gruff commissioner. Like, you don't want to mess with this guy, man. I mean, he was the strong arm of the law of the National Football League, and no one really questioned him. Now everybody. I mean, when he first came aboard, you know, when Tagliabue handed the reins down, he was solid. Everyone thought, oh yeah, I mean, here comes the new sheriff for sure.
He was hard on the players, handing down big suspensions and penalties all the time.
He knocked some people down a few notches. And people didn't want to mess with him.
The funniest part was, I think, Bountygate, when he handed down the massive suspensions for Jonathan Vilma and some of the other players. Scott Fujita, and then did all these other suspensions. And then Paul Tagliabue, the New Orleans Saints appealed. And so he goes, yeah, I'll just put Paul Tagliabue in charge of this appeal because he's going to be on my side, right? I mean, and then Paul Tagliabue overturned everything. Everybody overturns everything Roger Goodell does because he's just a doof. Sillier side of sports. We're at the office. Move over LeBron James and Kobe Bryant. There's a new king in town, literally. Following a breakout season that earned him his first NBA MVP, Golden State Warriors point guard Stephen Curry is America's favorite NBA player now, according to public policy polling. They surveyed almost 1,500 registered voters between May 7th and May 10th, less than a week after Curry took home the league's top individual awards. Can you tell me or guess the rest of the top five? So obviously Steph Curry, number one, he got 19% of the vote. The rest of the top five most popular players in the NBA.
Well, I think LeBron's still there.
LeBron's number two.
I think it'd be pretty safe to say. The rest of it's probably I have to say Bryant's still there.
Kobe Bryant is number three at 14%.
Okay.
Steph Curry, 19%. LeBron James, 18%. Kobe Bryant, 14%.
And then you're probably looking at someone like... I wouldn't say Duncan's too far off.
Duncan number five with 10%.
Yeah, and then I don't know if you want to throw Wade in there or not.
No, Wade is kind of a has been.
He is, isn't
yeah.
He? That's really tough then. Harden probably.
Nope.
Oh, Westbrook.
No.
Durant.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Course.
So the top five most popular players.
Yeah, I mean, he was out
players.
For a little while there at the end of the season.
How
so
is Kobe Bryant the most popular player? He hasn't played. I mean, the same thing with Kevin Durant. I get that he's a popular player. Didn't play very much at all this season.
Yeah.
They shut him down. Kobe Bryant hasn't played very much in the past 3 to 5 years. He's always got some sort of injury that takes him out the rest of the season.
He's a mess.
And he was an alleged sexual abuser.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a jackass to everybody. How is he popular?
He's the Mamba. He's the Black Mamba, man. I mean, that they still love him for who he was.
Yeah.
And he's been in the game forever and ever. I mean, he's a living legend.
Yep.
Literally, he still hangs around the basketball court, I guess. But after how many years? Is it 20 yet? Has to be.
Yeah. Finally, in sillier side of sports, could Michael Jordan have taken LeBron James out in his prime? It's a question many of us would love to have answered, but we'll never find out, obviously. But for some fans, they don't even need MJ in his prime. They think it would that MJ would beat LeBron James right now, one-on-one.
Okay, all right.
In a sports poll conducted by, again, Public Policy Polling, okay, found out that 34% said Michael Jordan would win in a one-on-one matchup with LeBron James. 54%, thank God the majority said LeBron would win. Okay. 12% said they weren't sure.
Okay.
That's insane. But on SportsCenter, the same thing, same question asked. 36% said they thought Michael Jordan would beat LeBron James in a one-on-one matchup right now.
Okay. That's no.
It just continues to go to the reason why you and I always talk about why, and if this is going to, this sounds terrible, but why we hate people.
that's ridiculous. What you're saying right now.
A third of people
is a
are
perfect
stupid.
Example of just what we're saying right now. That's a perfect example of how ridiculous people can be, because obviously Michael Jordan would laugh at that. He would say, what? I mean, depending on what kind of one-on-one you're talking about, if it's just shooting something from the outside and he got red hot, I suppose. I mean, Jordan probably still shoot the lights out of a basketball, but you're going to play one-on-one?
But LeBron James would probably block it because he's so athletic and just ripped right now. That's the other side of sports. Yep. The superstar Mike Morris and me, we're at the office. Come down here, hang out. They have just amazing TVs all over the place. Free parking in the back for Twins games. Free parking in the back anytime, by the way. Washington and 3rd, the Office Pub and Grill, my favorite place in Minneapolis. Come on down and hang out. Have a great weekend. Enjoy Mad Max tonight.
You bet.
We'll reconvene on the radio on Monday. Day. I'll miss you for 2 days.
Oh, I know it. I know it. It's a tough thing trying to go 2 days.
But, I mean, that's nice of you to say that, because earlier in the show you said you hated me. So I appreciate the come around. Okay. But take us home, my friend.
We have the true superstar for the day and for the week. A little bit loud there. Army Sergeant Michael C. Cable, 26 years of age, from Philpott, Kentucky, assigned to the headquarters and headquarters company. 1st Battalion, 327th Infantry, 1st Brigade Combat Team, 101st Airborne Division out of Fort Campbell, Kentucky, died March 27th from injuries sustained when his unit was attacked by enemy forces in Shinwar District, Afghanistan. Remember him, please, as you go into your weekend. Army Sergeant Michael C. Cable, he died March 27th, 2013. A brave, brave soldier. Remember him, if you would. Good night.
Passionate Sports Talk, 105 The Ticket.